Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
On July 10, President Trump met with about 25 members of what he calls his spiritual advisory team. Friends, this was an impromptu meeting that was held in the Oval Office. That team, of course, many of you know, has been part of President Trump's life since he won the GOP nomination, and they've played a very pivotal role in the policies of our 45th president. A viral video was taken at that July 10 meeting. I say a video. It was actually a picture, a still photograph, that showed the hands of several individuals on the shoulders of the president as prayer was offered in his behalf. The person who took that photo obtained permission from the White House to release it to the public. And, of course, when it was released, the media went ballistic, and the leftist, anti-American, anti-First Amendment folks cried everything from violation of separation of church and state to accusing the president of being anything but insane. Well, with that, friends, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Dave Kistler, and with me today is Gary Dahl. Sam is away for the next couple of days. But we're going to get into this viral picture phenomenon and use it as a springboard for a vitally important topic. In fact, I'm going to encourage you again today to call your friends, those that maybe have never listened to the program, maybe they listen somewhat regularly, but today's going to be a very important topic. It's this: protecting the presidency, preserving the republic. Protecting the presidency, preserving the republic. That's our theme. Why are we going to talk about that? Well, 4 days ago in an interview with True News, Christian Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who is the head of Revival Ministries International out of Tampa, Florida, and he is the one who took this viral picture. Well, he shared further details about a three-hour meeting he had on Tuesday, July 11th, the day following the prayer meeting at which this viral photo was taken. And Rodney Brown says he met with a member of Congress. This is the way he described him, as one of the senior ranking members of Congress. And this member of Congress told Dr. Brown that there was a move afoot in D.C. to, quote, take the president out. Now, this is not necessarily new information. Rodney Brown has done a number of interviews with respect to this. The one 4 days ago with True News is the most recent. But he left that Tuesday meeting in Washington, D.C. with that congressman. He did an interview with CBN. CBN decided not to air the comments that he made with respect to this topic of someone or someone's attempting to take the president out. So he went to his church the following Sunday, stood up in the pulpit, and I've watched the video of it, and told his Tampa church that there was a move afoot to take the president out. That prompted the U.S. Secret Service to visit him at his church, demanding the lawmaker's name, which, as I understand up to this point, he has refused to give. The obvious question that begs to be answered, and this is one that was asked of Dr. Brown, was this congressman saying that by take the president out, he meant he's going to be politically immobilized, or did he mean something else? Now, here's what I found to be very, very interesting, and Rodney Howard Brown has been adamant about this. He said what he picked up from that congressman's comment had nothing to do with being politically immobilized. It meant physical harm coming to the president. In fact, here was the statement Pastor Brown said. No, physically. No, I'm talking about physically. Following that statement, Pastor Howard Brown referenced the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the death of his brother Robert Kennedy, the attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan. All of these as examples of how a shadow government elite have dealt with previous attempts to topple their agenda. So, Gary, I want to go to you, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about this. I know you have watched at least one portion of the video during one of his interviews, and I sent that to you and asked you to take a look at it. Again, Gary, we're not trying to be in any way sensational. That's not our point, but you've been in D.C. enough. I've been in D.C. enough. We have enough contacts in D.C. We understand the anger that has been generated by the Trump agenda against those that are of the political establishment, the political elite. They are not happy with what he's doing. So my question to you is this: how legitimate do you believe this threat actually is? And if you believe it is a valid concern, where do you think the attempt to take him out, and I'm going to use the words of Dr. Brown, will likely come from?
I suppose if I knew all of those answers specifically, why, I'd probably be working for the New York Times or something like that. But I think that it could very well be legitimate because about 2 months ago, no, it wasn't that long, maybe 6 weeks ago, I read in an article where Donald Trump has had more threats on his life up to this particular point. Threats, not attempts, but threats on his life up to this particular point than most other presidents do in the first 6 months of their presidency. So, you know, is it legitimate? I would probably believe that there must be some legitimacy to it. From all that we've been able to gather, it doesn't appear as though it's been denied by anybody to any degree, as far as I know. And, you know, with regard to where would this attempt come from, I don't know. You know, there are many people in the United States of America who literally hate Donald Trump. I've heard people say that they wish that somebody would knock him off. I've heard that, David. And that's a shame. You know, even though you disagree with the president, I don't care if he's Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green, Purple, or polka-dotted. You should never want somebody to be taken out physically, killed, assassinated.
Agreed.
But there are mean people out there. So it could come from anywhere within the country. There are wicked people in the government, David. You know, you go back to John F. Kennedy, they still talk about the fact that certain elements of the government may have been involved in his actual assassination. And I've always suspected that there was. So it could come from the people, it could come from within the government, Russia, some other nation of the world, North Korea, who knows? But the fact that a congressman brought this to
Ronnie Howard Brown.
Brown. Really makes me think that it might be something, you know, in-house.
Well, Gary, here's the thing. The fact that the Secret Service made a trip all the way to Tampa, Florida, to visit with Dr. Brown to ask him who it was that told him this information, and of course he's refused to give the man's name, but he did say this, whoever this congressman is, he had been in office since 1996, and of course that would narrow it down somewhat. Still, there's a lot of people that went into the Congress in that year. But the bottom line, Gary, is this. You know as well as I do, when you cross certain people and you begin moving the country in a direction that is the antithesis of where it has been headed, and you start angering certain people, you do, in a very real sense, put a target on yourself. You have been the recipient of threats. I have been on the receiving end of some very, shall we say, sinister things down through the years, and some of it very recently. So I know this kind of thing happens. I know it's out there. But friends, we're bringing this to you and we're talking about it today because we believe it is important that you understand that these things do exist, what role shadow government entities are playing now, what role they've played in the past with former assassinations or assassination attempts is not fully known. But friends, we do know this, the wicked one is alive and well, and whatever Donald Trump is doing that is exalting righteousness, the wicked one is not happy about. Well, when we come back from a brief timeout, we're going to drill down into this theme much deeper, protecting the presidency, preserving the republic. What does that mean? What's going on? What do you need to know about it? And then most importantly, how do we respond to all of this? That's going to be the topic in segments 2, 3, and 4. Don't miss it. Come back right after this brief timeout for more Stand in the Gap today.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
On March 30, 1981, many of you will remember that our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan, along with three others, were shot and wounded by John Hinckley Jr. in Washington, D.C. as they were leaving a speaking engagement that Reagan had at the Washington Hilton Hotel. Hinckley's motivation for the attack, according to him and according to most of the reports since the attack, was to impress actress Jodie Foster, over whom he had developed an obsession after seeing her in her 1976 film Taxi Driver. Of course, there were no fatalities in the immediate aftermath of the attack. Reagan was shot in the chest, just below the left underarm. He suffered a punctured lung, heavy internal bleeding, but the prompt medical attention allowed him to not only survive, but to recover from that attack very, very quickly. Of course, there was no presidential succession that took place because the president was only under anesthesia for a short amount of time for the surgery. But everyone will remember the famous statement by Alexander Haig, who was at the time Secretary of State, very controversial statement where he said, "I'm in control here." And he said that while Vice President George H.W. Bush was on his way back to Washington. The most serious wounded victim was White House Press Secretary James Brady, who, of course, was left paralyzed from a gunshot wound to the head. He would later die in 2014 of causes a Virginia medical examiner found were directly related to the 1981 shooting. Hinckley was also rather wounded. Secret Service agent Tim McCarthy and Washington, D.C. police officer Thomas Delahanty. Gary, assassination attempts and plots on presidents of the United States have been numerous. In fact, a lot of people probably don't know this, but more than 30 attempts to kill sitting and former presidents and presidents themselves or presidents-elect are known to have occurred. Four sitting presidents have been killed, all of them by gunshot. Abraham Lincoln, who was our 16th president, James A. Garfield, who was our 20th president, William McKinley, the 25th president, and, of course, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, our 35th president. And two presidents were injured in assassination attempts, also by gunshots. And, of course, that was Reagan, our 40th president, and Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president, although he was injured at a time when he was not in office. Now, Gary, my question to you is this. How do you, in your mind, see the current situation in our country? The deep divide that exists, the venomous hatred on the part of many just toward Donald Trump himself, and then you couple in those that hate him because of the policy positions that he is advocating, which is in many, many ways the polar opposite of what we had for the 8 years prior. How do you see the current situation different from prior attempts that have been made on presidents' lives?
Well, Dave, you know, it's very interesting. I was on my way to Washington the day that Ronald Reagan got shot. And I was driving down, it was the old Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and I had the radio on. And when they described Hinckley, I fit his description.
And I thought, had more hair then, Gary, well, if you fit the description.
Amen, brother, I did. I had three more hairs. As a matter of fact, I thought I better turn around and go home. But yeah, I remember that. And you know, you talk about these assassinations. It was interesting that those assassinations occurred supposedly every 20 years. in other words, Lincoln was went in the 1860. Who was the next one? He went in the 1880s. And it was every 20 years, right up past Ronald Reagan. And so people thought that George Bush would qualify, you know, George W. Bush. But as far as we know, there were no attempts on his life. I mean, we would have known that had we heard it. I forget what your question was.
Well, Gary, the question is, you know, the situation, the climate then, in those days, you know, that caused people, motivated people to attempt to take the lives of presidents or to successfully accomplish that. How is that different from right now? But, you know, some people are saying, and I would tend to agree, we're the most divided nation we've ever been.
I think so. And you take a look at, you go back as far as Abraham Lincoln, you know, the country was divided because of the Civil War. You take in the days of John Kennedy, the country was divided over civil rights. And so, you know, there was a division, I think almost Ronald Reagan, there was a division over strong conservatism and liberalism. And, I mean, there was a great division there. And so I kind of think that where we are today, I don't like to say it at all. But the atmosphere that could lead to the potential assassination of a president or somebody in office is very, very, the atmosphere is conducive to that.
You know, one of the things Dr. Brown, Rodney Howard Brown, the pastor who said that he had this conversation with the congressman who said that there is an attempt, you know, afoot in D.C. to take the president out. Dr. Brown said the reason he had to talk about it was because he said this, Gary, and it's a topic that we have talked about much on this program. He said Donald Trump is the antithesis of globalism, and the global elites, this was his statement, the global elites are the ones that are perhaps the most angry at what Donald Trump is doing. That is a component that really, in one sense, was not existent, of course, back, you know, with the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It's become, you know, as we've moved through history, the globalist emphasis, of course, has grown, but it is at a zenith. It's at a high point right now, this emphasis on globalism. And here comes the nationalist, Donald Trump. Do you think that's factoring into why people would like to see him removed from office?
Oh, I think so, too. And you know, once again, you're asking me questions that I hate to give the answers to. But when you take and see what took place out of the Oval Office over the past 8 years, the expansion of globalism from the White House, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that there are people out there who are globalists, who were supporters of Obama's policy, and don't, I'm not making a connection here, you understand that, but people who are globalists, they would love to get rid of Donald Trump. And the thing of it is that globalism is not only right in Washington, D.C., it's throughout Europe particularly, other continents, but particularly throughout Europe. So you never know where there are people who hate him, who would like to do away with him. David, it's important that we truly pray for our president right now, because I believe that God put him in there for a particular purpose. We have a reprieve. We've talked about that before. We need to pray for this man because the forces of evil are no doubt against him.
Well, Gary, they are, and by no means are we suggesting, nor would we ever suggest about any president, that they're a perfect individual, because they're not. Everybody has a past. This president has a somewhat checkered past. But the fact of the matter, Gary, is this. The decisions he is making, for example, with respect to transgenders in the military, that angered a lot of people and is angering a lot of people. But that is a move that is in accord with what the scripture teaches with respect to human sexuality. So, Gary, he's doing a lot of things that are absolutely amazing from a spiritual standpoint. He's facilitating those things, and he's certainly creating, once again, a strong nationalist mindset with respect to the United States of America.
Yeah, and you brought in the gender situation, the LGBT group. In the last segment, you had mentioned that I've had a couple of threats. Two of them came from the LGBT group. There's a hatred there. There is a hatred there. And it doesn't surprise me, because the philosophy of the LGBT group comes right out of the pit of hell. Mm-hmm. And I've often said that Satan's mission statement is in the first part of John 10:10, where it says, "The thief cometh not but for to kill and steal and destroy." And you see that in the LGBT group and other groups out there that are anti-God, Antichrist, Antichrist.
Gary, I'm going to shift gears a little bit because I want to get this in before we hit the bottom of the hour break. Over the weekend, RNC chairman and current chief of staff, at least chief of staff until the weekend, Reince Priebus, resigned after the arrival of Anthony Scaramucci. Now, Gary, I want to just ask you to touch on this very quickly. Does his departure, do you think, signal some kind of philosophical battle that is occurring within the White House? And if so, what's the nature of that struggle?
I think that with Reince Priebus, he really is a bridge back to the establishment of the Republican Party during the campaign. And I kind of think that when Donald Trump brought him in, that President Trump probably wanted to try to bridge some sort of a gap and say to the establishment Republicans, okay, we will work along with Reince Priebus. Now, Reince Priebus is a good guy. I believe he's a born-again man, from what I understand. But I think that Donald Trump gave him a chance. He gave him 6 months. And what he was supposed to do, I believe, was to help bridge this gap with the Congress so that the health care might be worked out. And when that did not take place, I think Donald Trump thought, well, we're going to shift gears. And I'll tell you what, Dave, I think Reince Priebus has really done a masterfully job in what he's talked about since he's been released. He has emphasized that it was a great opportunity to serve the president. He was honored in doing that. And, of course, Donald Trump said he's a good man. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a shift so that Donald Trump can get his agenda accomplished.
Well, Gary, I agree with you. I think the way Priebus has handled himself since he was asked to resign, or since he chose to resign, whatever the pressure was that was applied there, however the decision was made, he has conducted himself as a stellar gentleman.
He
has not been negative. He has not been in any way demeaning. And the president, as you said, Gary, when he was asked there by reporters shouting from a distance, what about this? And he made a comment about John Kelly, what a great guy he is. But he also was very clear when he said Reince Priebus is a good man. I was a little surprised that he chose Reince initially as his chief of staff. But I think the transition's probably going to be a good thing. Well, friends, we pray that what we're talking about obviously never happens again, that there's never a threat on a president's life, that someone attempts to inflict physical harm. But yet we know the scripture says evil men and seducers in the last days are going to wax worse and worse. So when we come back from the break, how can we protect the presidency and preserve the republic in the process? That's going to be what we're going to talk about after this very brief timeout. Join us on the other side.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, if you're just joining us, we're discussing this vitally important topic today. That topic is protecting the presidency, preserving the republic. And that is our topic on today's Stand in the Gap Today edition. Gary, one of the things that Dr. Rodney Howard Brown has said in the multiple interviews he's done since being told by a U.S. congressman that there is a plot to take the president out, one of the things he said over and over again is that he believed he must speak up about what he was told. Now, I referenced that in the prior segment, but here's part of the reason he said he had to do that, and that's why he's talking so much about it, is he said, quote, "I could not live with myself if I didn't rally the body of Christ to pray like they've never prayed before." Now, Gary, we're not in our solution segment yet, but I want to talk a little bit in this segment from two perspectives. Biblically, what must we do to, quote-unquote, protect and preserve our president, but more importantly, the presidency, and even beyond that, Gary, the republic at large?
Well, biblically, yes, we must preserve the presidency. We must do everything that we can to preserve his life. I mean, we need to pray for him. We need to pray a hedge of protection about him, because murder is sin. Killing is against the will of God, David. And so in our prayers, we need to pray that God would take care of the president, that God would put that hedge of protection about him. Whether we are talking about the individual president or the presidency itself, anytime a president has been killed, the institution of the presidency itself has been under attack. And here in the United States of America, when you take into consideration what the president is to do according to our Constitution, that's very, very unique as it relates to governments across the around the world, actually, I should say. And so an attack on the president personally is also an attack on the presidency itself. And therefore, I think that every Christian, every believer, every non-believer should do everything that they could possibly do to philosophically protect the concept of the presidency as our Constitution is established.
Gary, as you well know, last week there was a highly controversial statement made in an interview Wolf Blitzer did with former CIA Director John Brennan. And I think we talked about it a little bit on the program. John Brennan was out in Aspen, Colorado at this Aspen Forum. It's some type of a security forum. And he basically, in response to a question that Wolf Blitzer asked with respect to President Trump, floated the idea that a coup could take place or should take place, and that those in the military and those within the government should refuse to follow the president if he attempted to dismiss Robert Mueller, former FBI director, who is the head of this Russia investigation. Gary, when things like that are floated, we're talking about a whole different complexion to what's happening in our country when leaders of the magnitude of John Brennan, former CIA director, floats an idea like that. So let me use that as a springboard to ask you this. We talked about biblically, what must we do? We pray, we petition the God of heaven to keep a president safe. And of course, the Bible implores us to do that. Paul told Timothy, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, specifically for kings and all that are in authority." Here's the reason: that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Gary, nobody in America, I don't care whether the president has a D or R after his name, that's immaterial. You said it so well earlier. Nobody wants to see a president shot at, certainly heinously and horrifically murdered. We don't want to see that. So we want to be able to continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life in the United States of America. So biblically, we pray. Let's talk more politically and perhaps practically. What can we do to protect and preserve? And I'm talking about our national leaders. I'm talking about the conversations, the public discourse, I'm talking about how not just we carry on conversations, but how our politicians that we've elected to serve us, how they talk about things perhaps with respect to the president and the presidency itself.
Well, I think a lot of it is the rhetoric that's used. You know, when people say certain things, why that gets others stirred up. John Brennan, in my estimation, should be under investigation.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
I don't think that he should, and maybe he is, we don't know, but I don't think that he should be have been allowed to make a statement like that and get away with it. Because it's statements like that from people who have been in positions like he was in that's going to get other people motivated to go out and do some of these crazy things. Rhetoric is very, very important. And again, David, you hear it so much from the left, don't you? I mean, you hear congressmen crying for the impeachment of the president. Impeachment for what? I have not seen any high crimes or misdemeanors from this White House. Have you?
I have not, Gary. I know some are going to say, what about the Russia investigation? All of that has been up to this point, Gary, debunked. Now, we understand there's an ongoing investigation. Robert Mueller, who is a suspect individual himself because of his ties in the past. But all of that is still, of course, some of it's still ongoing. But up to this point, and it's been what now, almost 10 months,
yes,
that some entity has been looking into this and nothing has been produced. So does it meet the level of high crimes and misdemeanors up to this point? Absolutely not.
And even in all of the investigation, one other thing to take into consideration is that there's a difference between that which is legal and that which is high crimes and misdemeanors, in a sense. Because only, David New explained this to us one day on the program, only the president of the United States can commit high crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes relates to certain things that have been committed by the highest office on the face of the earth, being the presidency. Okay? David New explained that to us one day, a couple of months back. But putting that aside, anything else that they have come up with in this Russia investigation, they've not been able to find anything illegally done, specifically speaking. So, you know, but I think that when you've got congressmen and other senators out there and people saying, let's impeach, that generates hatred in the minds and the hearts of people. If we're going to protect the presidency, what it's important for us to do is to make certain that our speech is adequate. You know, yeah, the Bible says, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Tell the truth. Be direct, but be gracious in our speech. And I think wicked speech stirs up wicked actions.
Well, Gary, the Bible says as much, and you're exactly right. Do we still have our caller on the line? If we do, we have a caller that's called in and wants to talk a little bit about this. And so, Mac, if you're there, what's your comment, my dear friend?
Yeah, Brother Dave, thank you so much for taking my call. Yeah, it just I just find the double standard. I mean, if we all know as Christians, conservatives, and anti-establishment wanting our country back, we all know that if we did one a microcosm of what this, I'm talking about a microscopic inkling of what we're doing this way towards Obama, literally we'd be catching it from all angles, we'd be vilified, it'd be ratcheted up. But yet, for some odd reason, the mainstream anti-Christ, anti-government, anti-people freedom always seems to ratchet up and allow these insidious remarks and attempts to go forth. And I've spoken to you off air, until the preachers start making their stand and calling it and getting bold about it, as I've done to tell in my church when someone's off. You can't avoid it in the Bible, where God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, Nathan went to David, thou art the man, Jesus told disciples, you tell that fox. We're missing it here, and I just wanted to vent that. We got to stand for this man. I praised the Lord when we were listening, and Pastor Gary Dahl said, I'm going to be bold, put Donald Trump in office. There's nothing wrong with that. We got to pray for him, and it's just a travesty. And thank you so much for letting me speak up as a retired Navy spec op, and booyah. God bless.
Well, Mac, bless you, my friend. And I want you to know we love you, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in. You're always so spot on. Gary, let's go to that. Let's go to what Mac just said, because, again, one of the things that Rodney Howard Brown, the pastor that made the statements to his church and has done several interviews, has prompted our discussion today on the program. One of the things he said is this: pastors must speak up. He said this is our moment to do so. He said we'll answer to God if we don't. Because of the way America was founded as a distinctly, he said, and I concur, a Christian nation, certainly founded upon Judeo-Christian belief, because of the uniqueness of our country, we have a divine obligation to speak up whenever we are aware of something that's going on that could bring down or potentially damage not just a president, an individual, but the presidency as a whole, the republic be damaged as well. Talk about that, because Mac is right. Pastors must stand up and must speak out.
And there's a reason for that. Because, and as we've talked about this before in the program, David, pastors are the spiritual authority in the community. And therefore, they've got the responsibility to take the issues like we're dealing with here today, as well as any other day on Stand in the Gap. Pastors have the responsibility to address those issues from the perspective of the Word of God. But let me bring this in a little bit more specifically as it relates to this matter with Pastor Brown and this apparent desire to take the president out. When the pastor speaks, he should be speaking. If he's a true pastor, he will be speaking from the authoritative position of the Word of God. The Word of God does not return unto us void, does not return unto God void, the Scripture says. And so when a pastor takes a situation like this and speaks to it from the perspective of the Word of God, then the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, is going to have an effect upon those who hear. And even preaching against things like this could reduce the possibility of a president being assassinated.
Well, Gary, I agree. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to get this out there. I know it's been out in some sectors, but it's not been out in a lot of the media. One particular network refused to air or chose not to air Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's comments that this congressman had related this information to him. We want to talk about it because, friends, the last thing any American ought to want to see is anything remotely close to a president being harmed or any attempt to harm him. I don't care what side of the aisle he comes from. Well, friends, when we come back, it's going to be our solution segment. Don't miss it. Stand in the Gap today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, our topic today has been protecting the presidency, preserving the republic, and we've been talking about this comment made by Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, one of the members of the President's Spiritual Advisory Council, as it's called. And he was in Washington, D.C. on July 10 and 11, and the viral photo that was taken of his hand and his wife's hand on the back of the president as they met in an impromptu meeting in the Oval Office to pray with the president. The day following July 11 was when Rodney Howard Brown was told by this congressman that there was a move afoot in Washington, D.C. to, quote, take out the president, end quote. So we're talking about that. This is our solutions segment, so we're going to talk about what can be done, in fact, what must be done to indeed protect the presidency and preserve our republic. Gary, one of the things that was interesting to me is what you said about the preaching of the word in the last segment and the power of it. And off air, as you and I were conversing, you said, when you stand up and preach, you think about it this way. And I'll be honest, I've never thought about it quite the way you worded it. But let's say there were five people out there in a vast congregation of people that are attending a service where you're ministering, and five of them out of that vast congregation have it in their mind as they enter the auditorium, they're going to, at some point, commit some sin, some iniquity. It may be anything from murder. It could be an immoral act. It could be something they're going to go view. But you said, when I preach, I think the power of the Word of God is so much significant. It is so powerful that it can stop, if not all five, four, three of those people from committing a particular act. Now, I want to set that up. The question I'm going to ask, I want to set it up by saying that, and then I want to mention this. Every year, you know, we do a National Bible Reading Marathon where the word is not preached per se, but the word of God is read from the West Plaza of the United States Capitol for 90 hours. starts on the Sunday prior to the first Thursday of May, first Thursday of May being the National Day of Prayer. And here are the comments I've heard on at least two occasions from the Capitol Police or from those who have heard it directly from the mouth of the Capitol Police. And here's what they said. The crime rate in D.C. drops the week of the Bible reading marathon. Just the reading of the Word of God from the steps of the West Plaza of the Capitol has a cleansing effect. So, Gary, with respect to protecting the presidency, preserving our republic, what should pastors do? Drill down on that again, hammer it again, put an exclamation point on it. And then what can the general public do if they hear commentary, conversations that are demeaning of either the president or the country?
Well, you know, I go back to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Because, David, as you just said there, and as we discussed in the break, we human beings have no concept of the ultimate power of the Word of God. When you preach, you can see God's Word at work. Souls are saved, lives are changed. I see that when I preach. But beyond what we see, the power of the Word of God just penetrates people's hearts and lives and minds. And that's why I said, you know, it could actually prevent somebody from doing something that they were going to do. And you and I would never know about that as preachers.
Correct.
That's the power of the Word of God. The more we as preachers preach the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, and in an expositional way, the more we are going to see the power of God brought to bear in our churches, brought to bear in our community, brought to bear in our society, because God will use his word to exalt his name and to accomplish his purposes. Now, as to your second question, when people hear somebody else talking down the president, or maybe it's even the person sitting beside them in the pew, don't get involved with that. Don't get involved with that. But as we are talking about the presidency today, and you know we're all guilty of that, you ask me that question, I'm saying, here am I. I mean, I've done it. I've done it.
Yeah, so have I.
I've done it.
So have I.
But we've got to make certain that our speech edifies. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. When we hear somebody saying something in a negative fashion about somebody else, whoever it is, what it is, we ought to try to correct that, turn that around, and make it positive. Not neglecting truth.
Right.
Truth must be revealed. Truth must be brought to bear upon untruth and sin. But we must make certain that the intent is to build up rather than to destroy.
And Gary, I would echo what you said, but follow it up with this. When we're talking about not saying anything that would be demeaning, you have to address policy issues.
Facts.
You have to address the issues that
right.
are at hand. And we know that there is a vast difference between the way people view healthcare. There is a right way. There is a biblical way. We talked about that on a program a week or so back. There is a very unbiblical way, getting the government involved in. We have to address those issues, and sometimes in the addressing of them, people's names come up because people espouse. They hold certain views. But what we're talking about here is the demeaning of a person, the putting of them down, the wishing of ill on them, saying, I just wish such and such would happen to them. That, Gary, is not only above and beyond the line, beyond the pale, that is as unbiblical a thing as anybody can possibly do about anyone.
We should never wish ill upon anybody, no matter what the case may be. I mean, we should just never do that. And anytime we hear somebody saying something like that, we should correct them. When we think that, we may not say it, but even when we think ill about somebody, we should adjust our thought process. According to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where it says, you know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and so forth. If there be any praise, if there be any good report, think on these things.
You know, Gary, one of the things I've focused on, and I know we have just a couple of minutes left, and I want you to close us out in prayer, but one of the things I've tried to focus on, even in my meetings as I'm traveling around the country, is to underscore throughout the week the greatness of the United States of America, to help people understand we are not a perfect nation. There is no such thing. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect government. However, our founders sought God's wisdom. They sought God's direction. And God gave them the wisdom to come up with a constitution that has stood us in good stead for now 240 years. And so rather than focusing on all that's wrong with our country, all that's wrong with Washington, D.C., though there is things that are wrong, we need to focus on what's right about the United States of America and the blessedness of the country in which we live, praying that in those areas where we are not where we should be, that God will be able to invade those areas. Truth will invade those areas and they can be reclaimed. And America can be once again that shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan described.
That's right, David. And you say this is not a perfect nation. It is not. But it's interesting in the preamble of the Constitution, it says, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a
more perfect.
It grows, doesn't it?
It does.
And this
indeed.
Constitution is designed to make it a more perfect union if we follow the Constitution.
Gary, take us to the throne of grace and pray about those very things. We're talking today about protecting the presidency and preserving the republic. And for the glory of God, for the advancement of the gospel, we need to see both of those things accomplished. So, Gary, pray about it.
And by the way, you're in Central Pennsylvania preaching all this week, along with Wendell Calder at the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference here in Altoona. And you're going to be preaching tonight at
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, and Wendell Calder at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, we might talk more about this later on. Come to Central Pennsylvania, Altoona, and listen to Dave Kistler preach. Father, we pray that you'll give us wisdom to stand for truth and to speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Friends, thank you for joining us today on Stand in the Gap Today. Join us 23 hours from now for another installment into the truth. We're going to try to address what's happening in our culture around us from a biblical and constitutional perspective, and we want you to be a part of it. We'll see you tomorrow on Stand in the Gap Today. Till then, stand up for truth right where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.